Lord, we pray, Heavenly Father, help us to hear your word. Help me, Lord, to be able to open up and share from your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And so this Christmas, I've been a little bit stuck in Acts chapter 2. So a lot of what I'll be sharing over Christmas will be, I said Acts. Luke wrote Acts as well. Anyway, I meant Luke. Luke chapter 2. And so a lot of it will come from there, which is about, the first half of the chapter, or more than, is really about the shepherds. And so this morning, looking at verses 10 and 11, we're going to be looking at the message of the angel to the shepherds on the hills of Bethlehem. The angel said, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. And the Bible contains a message of good news. I'm very much aware this morning I'm preaching to the converted, but there are many people out there who don't really believe that the Bible contains a message of good news. And in fact, there's a website called evilbible.com. Well, it's just a website that is full of lies, I'm afraid. The message within Scripture has always been one of good news, and we call it the gospel. And we are people in need of good news because there's a whole load of discouraging bad news out there, isn't there? And in fact, there is plenty to encourage us. For example, Pete and Sue became grandparents again a few weeks ago because a baby was born. And that's good news, isn't it? That's encouraging. We might hear from the doctor that, in fact, our diagnosis is not as bad as we had thought. And that's good news. Or just this last Thursday, I tested negative for COVID. And Tina put up on the Deacon's WhatsApp group, good news indeed. Well, the Bible contains a message of good news. But it's a good news that is of a different order. Because it's permanent and it's not temporary. It's also good news that meets our deepest need. And in this passage in Luke chapter 2, we see that this good news, which is not just only in Luke chapter 2, but throughout the Bible, is focused upon the person of Jesus Christ. And unfortunately, as we all know all too well, these days, the name Jesus or Christ is usually only known as a swear word. But if we're going to understand this good news, we have to take the person of Jesus seriously. And the birth of Jesus marked a new thing that God was doing. It marked a crucial step in God's unfolding plan to bring this good news to the world, to bring this good news to you and to me. And it was announced first by angels. Angels who appeared to Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, the angel who appeared to Mary, And in our passage, the angel of the Lord, who again could have been Gabriel, though we're not told, who appeared to the shepherds. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. So I've got 3 points this morning that are already up there, I believe, on the screen. The first one is good news and the Old Testament. I do love the Old Testament. And just about everything in the New Testament has an Old Testament background, which sheds light on our passage. And our passage in Luke chapter 2 is no exception to that. Because in the Old Testament, there's a bit of a pattern when it comes to babies and to angels and to God doing something rather special. For example, it was angels who announced the births of Abraham's two sons, Isaac and Ishmael. Two boys who were to play key roles in God's purposes, but especially Isaac, because he was the child of promise from whom the Messiah would come. And then there was Samson in Judges chapter 13. And the angel of the Lord, it tells us in verse 3, appeared to the mother of Samson and said to her, "You are barren and childless, but you are going to conceive and give birth to a son," which happens to be exactly the same words that the angel Gabriel spoke to Mary. And in that passage, the angel is described as being very awesome. There is a question about the true identity of that angel, but certainly when we see the angel of the Lord appear to human beings, like the parents of Samson, they are terrified, like also the shepherds. The parents of Samson thought they were going to die, but they didn't. And God had a special plan for this child who was named Samson, to use him as a savior, to use him as a deliverer of Israel from their enemies. And so the question is, who was this child born in the town of David, in the little hamlet of Bethlehem, who was laid in a manger? If we know something of our new Old Testament background, we see immediately he was someone very, very special. And in fact, if we read back, not only in chapter 2, but in chapter 1 of Luke, we begin to discover that this child was not only someone very special. He was not only someone whom God would use in a very special way, although that was certainly true. There were aspects of his birth that set him apart as unique. Unlike all the other miracle births in the Old Testament, and there's some others, the birth of Jesus was unique because his mother was a virgin. And unlike the other miracle births in the Bible, and in all those cases, the angel of the Lord set out the purpose for that child. But when it comes to Jesus, Gabriel said, "That Holy One who is born will be called the Son of God. The birth of any child brings great joy. The birth of this child was much more. Because as the angel said, this good news will cause great joy for all the people. And in fact, we could say he was the good news. The good news and the shepherds. Well, a couple of weeks ago, we had here Christmas Unwrapped. And there was a young girl who asked, why did the angel tell the shepherds and not some other people? And I actually thought that was a good question. And I did my best to answer it. But I've reflected on it a bit more. First of all, God can do what he wants. It says that in Psalm, I believe, 115, that God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. So if God wants to bypass the self-important in Herod's palace and reveal his purposes to what we might call the most unlikely suspects, that is his choice. And interestingly, in fact, one of Herod's palaces, called the Herodian, is quite close to Bethlehem. The angel could have just popped over there, but no, he went to the shepherds on those dark hills of Bethlehem. But secondly, I think there's a general principle that we see again and again in the Bible, that God reveals himself to the humble and not to the proud. For example, in Psalm 25, verse 9, he guides the humble in what is right and he teaches them his way. In the first century, there were many humble, faithful, and God-fearing people. Unfortunately, at the time, they were not typical of the people of Israel, but they were there. People like, for example, Mary and Joseph, people like Simeon, people like Anna, and there were others, others like the shepherds, we can put in that category. They believed in God the Father, and he guided them in the way that was right. He guided them to the Son so that they could believe in him also. And we also read later in Luke's Gospel when it says that Jesus was full of joy through the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and learned and you have revealed them to little children. That is the humble. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. The Father was pleased to bring this message to the shepherds. But also, if we think about it for a moment, it makes a lot of sense that God sent the angel of the Lord with this message of good news to the shepherds around Bethlehem. And that's because God had promised that his Messiah King, would be a son of David. And it was David who started his career as a shepherd on those same hills of Bethlehem. And of course, he went on to be the shepherd of his people Israel as their king, their greatest king. In Israel, the leaders of the people were called shepherds. And so Micah prophesied, and we know this quite well, but you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Jesus later in his ministry described himself as the Good Shepherd. It sort of fits together, doesn't it? It sort of makes sense that this message of good news would be taken first to the humble and faithful shepherds. And I think it's amazing how Luke brings all the pieces of the jigsaw together, and many, many other parts of the jigsaw that we haven't even mentioned this morning. And he's painting a picture for us. He's painting a picture that forces us to ask the question, what is this good news? And more specifically, who exactly is that child lying in the manger? The good news and the child. This good news is inseparable from the baby in the manger, who's wrapped up all warm in swaddling clothes. And in fact, in our passage, we don't need to go very far to find out more about him. In verse 11, "Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, and he is Christ the Lord." First of all, he is a Savior. He's a Savior. The promise was that God would send a Savior. Incidentally, Savior is the title which is so often in the Old Testament applied to God himself. But Zechariah promised that, in fact prophesied, that the Savior would rescue us from the hands of our enemies and enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And that's in Luke chapter 1. So God often raised up saviors, particularly in the times of the judges, like Samson. He raised up Samson to deliver Israel from their enemies, who in those days were the Philistines. And if we know the story, we know that actually in the end, he died in the process when he brought the temple down upon the heads of not only the Philistines, but also himself. And God promises here that this baby Jesus would be a Savior. But it doesn't take us long to realize he's not quite like Samson. First of all, Samson was not a military leader. He never killed anyone. In fact, he wasn't a leader at all in any official capacity. Also, Samson's character was very flawed, particularly when it came to women. Well, as they say, compared with Jesus, they were like chalk and cheese. Jesus was a man of impeccable character. And that was the testimony of those closest to him, like Peter, for example, who in the end was able to write this: "He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth." And in Luke chapter 2, verse 11, the words of the angel certainly hint at, and in fact strongly suggest, a sinless Christ. He is Christ, the Lord. Luke's version of the incarnation. Luke's version of the God who became man. This is our God. As John Wesley said, contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. Incomprehensibly because it's hard for our minds to grasp. Because when we see the baby in the manger, we see a real baby with real baby needs, and yet also incarnate deity, the Word who became flesh, ordinary and yet extraordinary. But in one way, Jesus, our Savior, was like Samson, the Savior, in that it was through his death that he delivered us from the hands of our enemies. Our enemies, not the way in which the natural mind thinks of enemies, but our real enemies, our personal sin, our spiritual enemies, the devil and his demons, and of course, the last enemy, which is death itself. And Jesus came to save and to rescue us from them all. When we think about it, I think we have to conclude that this plan and purpose of God for Jesus, for Christ the Lord to be a Savior, must have been somewhat veiled from the shepherds and indeed from his parents at the time of his birth. But the more we read through Luke's Gospel, the more God's plan and purpose is spelt out to us. And again, Peter, one of those who was closest to him, put it like this: he himself bore our sins in his body upon that cross, in order that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. And by his wounds you have been healed. And then listen to this bit, because it fits in. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. You know that baby lying in the manger, who was visited by the shepherds, was that great shepherd and overseer of our souls. And he was first of all seen by shepherds. This is the good news. This is the Christmas message. This is the good news that brings great joy and peace to those who believe. This is the good news that is found uniquely and exclusively in the person of Jesus Christ, the God who became man, the God who became man, who became our sin bearer, that we might not die but have eternal life, find forgiveness of sins and new life in him. Amen.